Okay, Perek Nun. Finally, what we've been waiting for. Babel's comeuppance. After speaking of the fall of many a nation, Yirmiyahu finally makes his way to Babel. He has to be very careful about this. You see, Babel has allowed him to maintain some kind of political autonomy. Babel allowed him to appoint Gedaliah. Didn't work so well, but remember when Nebuzaradan came to town, he said, "Don't touch Yirmiyahu." He wanted to make peace with us. Right? I'm not sure if Chas v'Shalom, I don't even want to say the words, but if a certain country did take over, you think they would allow the Neturei Karta to remain in Mea Shearim? I don't know, maybe.
Maybe the last Jew to be killed.
You feed the alligator just so much meat, and you hope that he doesn't eat you last.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, I don't know. Every time in history is different. I do know that Yirmiyahu referred to Nebuchadnezzar as Nebuchadnezzar Avdi, Nebuchadnezzar my Eved, a title that does not go around too far in Tanakh. Very few people are called Eved Hashem. Mm-hmm. Right? So, Nebuchadnezzar twice in this book is called that. So now, the Mephoshim are at odds. Is this after everything? Because some of what he said in these chapters of what's going to happen in the future, some of what he says this is during the reign of Tzidkiyahu. I said these words during, so it's before Korban. Right? So, there's nothing really conclusive here that says when he spoke about the ultimate fall of Babel. But I just have to think that it was late. It was later than late in say. I think it's after the Korban. I think that this is probably after he's already in Egypt.
Presumably.
You know, because it's right. You have to think politically what's
for safety.
Unless he wrote these things and he kept them under lock and key, and then when the book was put together he said, okay, now let's include this. But I can't imagine, let's be logical here. I can't imagine that the Babylonians would have let him get away with everything, you know, that they were very kindly disposed to him. That the Babylonians would have let him do that if they had known that, in addition to all of his calls for peace, that he already explicitly described their destruction. Okay, I'll leave that to your thoughts. Hadavar asher diber Hashem el Bavel. El Bavel, of course, means Al Bavel, regarding Bavel. El and Al are often used interchangeably. Sometimes they're very different. Shvocha Moscha, remember? El HaGoyim, Asher Lo Yiducha, Al HaMamlachos, Asher B'Shimcha Lo Karau. Right? There's a big difference between Som Tosim Olecha Melech, King upon you, like Shetei Maso Alecha, Olecha, right? It's upon you. Like Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav, it's upon you. It's right? Okay, so here it says, El Bavel, El Eretz Kastim, right? El Bavel, El Eretz Kastim. So we use, Bavel and Kastim are used interchangeably in this book. Right? B'yad Yirmiyahu Navi. And when Yirmiyahu referred earlier to the sort of a bisayon, a disparaging state of this nation, it's because they didn't have their own their own language. Right? The Babylonian language is Aramaic. It's not. There's no language called Babylonian. Right? The language is Aramaic. Right? And when our president went to Austria and he said, "I'm not so proficient in the Austrian language." No, this president, but no one in the media, you know, held him for it because he's not George Bush. You know. Dan Quayle made such a statement.
Right.
It would have been on the front page of the New York Times. Right? Of course. So that's already a Maamar Chazal elsewhere. Hagidu bagoyim, hashmiu, se'un neis, let's speak about it in all the nations, because this will be something that will be like a world war. All the nations will all be interested in this. Se'un nes means make it public. A nes is called a miracle because it's supposed to be something that's like a nes is a flag, a banner is a nes. Right? Velukim nisa es Avraham, says Ibn Ezra. God made a banner of Avraham. Right? Okay. Call this out and don't even be afraid. Don't be afraid to say so. Right? We just got finished talking about why you might be afraid to say this. Imru nil kedah Bavel. Let's all say together that Bavel is captured. Hovish Baal. Now, mize Baal. The Elil, it's the god of Bavel, is called Baal. That's where their king's name was, Baal Shatzar.
That's what it's called Bavel, maybe.
Okay. Could be. I mean, the Torah gives Kishon Balal Hashem Sfas Kol Aretz.
But it's the Balal, not Bavel.
But it's the same as right. The Sanhedrin says, Talmud Bavli, Balula B'Mishnah, Balula B'Mikra, Balula B'Talmud. Right, but anyway, So that's what it means here, and that's when they named Daniel. They changed Daniel's name to Baal Teshatzar. So because of this, they still like to put their god's name in there. And if you recall in the news the last few months, remember that the ISIS destroyed the famous temple of Baal in Syria.
Palmyra?
Palmyra. Right, so you're saying that Baal is the equivalent
of Baal? No, not necessarily. No, this is just the proper name of the king. Okay. Alright, so Chat Merodach. Merodach is actually the name of the king. So this means that Here's our proof right here that this must be late, because Merodach, Evil Merodach, is the name of the king after Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is not. How long did Nebuchadnezzar rule? 45 years, and he started in the year 606. So this is a very late addition here, right? Okay. But Rashi Metzuda says that Merodach here is Shmot Pisilei Bavel. Baal and Merodach. So the king took on a name, just like Baal Shatzar took on the name of a god of Bavel, so did Avil Merodach take on the name of a god of Bavel. Okay? Hovishu Atzabeha. It makes sense, because if it's saying Atzabeha Giluleha, so Baal and Merodach fit those terms. Notice that the Hebrew words for their gods are, right, atzabeha from the word etzev, yeah. Giluleha is even better. Maze gilulim.
And etzev also, they are sorry when they see that they talk to their will and they cannot do anything.
Yeah, giluleha, lahavir gilulim min haaretz. Gilulim is excrement. So the Bible's word for avodah zarah is excrement. Right. So, okay. Elil means something dead. Although there was a proper name for an ancient god called, but they had like their law sound had like an N in it, Enlil. You see that L and N, L, La and N come from almost the same part of the mouth, and there are lots of words. Lots of words in the Tanakh where lamids and nuns just interchange.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Right. In fact, in Melachim, someone says, "Where are you coming from?" And he says, "Al." He says instead of saying "on." Mm-hmm. It's clear that he means where are you coming from? He says "Al." Okay. Pass down the can to dry the not the diet one, the other one. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. So. So Enlil to them was an actual name of a god. Yeah. So with the Tanakh, thanks.
It has the name El.
So the Gemara talks about in Maseches Megillah at the end of the third parak about assigning derogatory names. Right? Remember what the very early Gaonim referred to the evangelical writings as the Avon Gilion. You get it? Avon Gilion. It sounds like evangel. You know. The sinful pamphlet. Right? Okay, so it's actually an ancient. It's a parody. It's a sort of satire. I don't know, but it's a book called Toldos Yeshu, which is does this kind of thing. And, all right, but you see, that's why these are the words for Avodah Zarah. It's Abel Gilula. So what's going to happen to Babel? Ki Allah Aleha Goy Mitzafon. A nation even further north than it. What nation is that, of course, is Persia. Okay? Yoshisis Arzo. Yoshis here means like Laman Shisi Oso Sai Elebekirbo. Inyan Sima Kimo Im Kofer Yushas Olav. I would have preferred to use Laman Shisi Oso Sai Ele because it's the same thing. Right? All right. The lo yiyeh yoshev ba me'adom ad behemon nadu halacha, and no one will be able to reside there. Not man, not animal. Nadu is like na v'nod, where Hashem told Cain, "You will be na v'nod." Na means always moving, and nod means not, you know, wandering.
And then the connection.
Oh yeah. Now, when was this historically so? I mean, did the Persians so destroy Babel? I mean, they did fight great wars. So here's the thing. Not all Mefarshim agree that this pasuk is talking about the sacking of Babel at the hands of Persia. Some Mefarshim, and the more modern Mefarshim, say that this hasn't happened yet. It's happening now. If we're talking about the rendering Babel uninhabitable and dangerous to just walk the streets, this could be is Babel is Iraq, yes.
It's pretty much been
Persia is Iran.
It's pretty much been like the worst place on earth for the last 20 years. Series of tragedies. Maybe these prophecies can mean multiple advancements, right?
It's sometimes a little dangerous on our part to try to, sometimes I think we can be spot on. Zechariah refers to the division of Jerusalem and some of the things that happen when it's cut into two pieces and then it's going to be reunited to the joy of everyone. I must tell you, Shabbos afternoon, I remember walking into this park where my daughter lives. There's 200 kids playing. This is huge 200. Park. 200 children. And it's in the middle of like a housing, housing units. And right in the middle of it is just not a sea of children. And not one older than 7 or 8.
Wow.
Right? So that's the pasuk in Zechariah. Od yeshvu zekeinim. I didn't see the zekeinim in Zekeinim. No, everyone that is in the whole city is very young. But they did. The children playing with not a fear, not a trembling. Look, the Arabs are just over the hill on the other side there. But everyone seems to be getting along right now. But when you talk about animals can't live there and people can't live there, let's go on and see more. Bayamim ma'ema uva esahi. In those days and in that time. Okay. This is a beautiful little pasuk here. Numa Hashem Yavo b'nei Yisrael hema u'v'nei Yehuda yachdov. That's the key word here, yachdov. There's actually a Medrash Tanchuma that says that Bavel doesn't have a chance if we're yachdov. Atem nitzavim hayom kolchem. Halochu v'cho yelechu v'es Hashem elokeihem yivakeshu. Okay, they'll reach that day of joining together and strengthening themselves. They'll reach that day after much, much crying. It sounds like the pasuk Haloch Yelech Uvacho Nose Meshech Hazara. Right? Haloch Yelech Uvacho. Uvacho Yelechu Veshashem Elokeihem Yevakeshu. At that time, they will start to seek God. Is that happening in Israel? My experience this week really shows that there are great opportunities for Kiddush Hashem. Most people in Israel are open to it. It just has to be presented to them. They don't know better. Right? You know, some old politicians used to be speaking about creating a nation of Apikorsim. That's worse. These guys are Amaratsim. They don't know anything. Okay, but when they know something, I don't talk about it on Shabbos, but I addressed there's a program I support that brings young from people into the public schools. The public schools let it happen, they allow it, even though here you couldn't bring any religion into the public schools, but there they allow it, but not in the schools. The children get a day off and they go to your place. So there are 125 such places. And I had the good fortune of being there when one of these things was taking place. So I addressed three different groups, and each group had a different theme. My theme was, like, imagine this theme, Torah. My theme was Torah. So I wrote the number 2016. So I said, does everybody know what this is? This is all, of course, in Hebrew. They only speak Hebrew. So I said, 2016. They said, yeah, of course, we know what that is. Okay. 5776. They all knew. Briyat Olam. Because they write, you know, it appears on the coins.
It's on the coins.
It's on the stamps. So they knew it. So then I wrote down 5708. They all knew it. Americans in fourth grade. These are seventh graders, so no 1776. They know 5708. Tashach. Right. So 5708. Fine. Then I wrote down 5845. Anybody?
45 is 2185.
5845.
Coming of Mashiach.
5845 the amount of psukim in the Torah.
Okay.
No one knew that. I don't expect them to. The next thing is amazing thing. So I said, okay, so Pasuk Aleph, the first Pasuk in the Torah is Breshit Bara Elokim et Hashemayim ve'et Ha'aretz. That's the first year, right? The 5708th verse from that, right? It's right near the end, because it's 5708, 5845, is Im Yehyeni Dachacha B'Kzei Hashemayim, Misham Mekabetzcha Hashem Elokecha, Misham Mekachecha.
So what is it again?
It's the Pasuk we say in the Berach Aleph of the Medina Yisrael. If you are exiles or in the far reaches of the earth, I will gather you in and take you to my land. That's the 5,708th pasuk. The kids started shivering. They were like, "Hakol tzafui b'Torah, hakol." So I started to show them some of this, you know, the secret things in the Torah about the things that they would never otherwise know, and how could someone know that 3,000 years ago? So I don't know. They might have gone back home. Most of the boys there had earrings. Many of them had tattoos already. I mean, they're just very sad. These are teenagers. Seventh grade, they're 13. Bar mitzvah. But who knows? You never make a pintola. You know, something will kick in later on. You never know. So he's saying here that these things will take place when the Jews start to yivak as Hashem Elokeihem yivakeshu. Alright, so we might be a way off of that, but let's try to explain yivakeshu in as broad a way as possible. I'm not saying dirshu Hashem bi matzo bi karu bi asok karov yivakeshu, just a mavakeshu. Let's leave that very simply. I'm not saying that they're keeping Shabbos so quickly or they're keeping Torah. That we even had in my group there, we had pairs of tefillin. If any of the boys wanted to put it on, we couldn't. You know, if we would even try to like do what Lubavitch does, want to put on a pair of tefillin, the program would be in trouble with the parents. You know, so chas v'shalom, a kid should bring home a pair of tefillin and say, "I want one of these for my bar mitzvah." Anyway, But we had it there. Some kids wanted to put it on. No, if they go home and they say, I would really love to have a pair of tefillin, what can I say? As long as it doesn't appear that we were really actively proselytizing.
Right.
It can't appear that way, but you better believe everything on earth that that's exactly what I was doing.
Right.
Indoctrinating, let's say, put it that way.
Yes.
When I was in Nofi alone, they're coming from all over the country. They have permission to go into 400 schools, but they only have the resources to do 125 right now. So, and I remember when I walked in there, they said, this group is such a tough group. Oh, you're not going to have such trouble. And but if as long as you challenge them right away and you get them thinking, and they were like so into it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So that's the Mevakesh.
It's a tough age rate group.
Oh, yeah. Well. It's Mevakesh,
they have come to visit religious.
The buses pick them up. It's a day off, so they see it as, it's a... School in Israel is like from 8:30 to 1:30.
That's it?
Yeah, they're out very early in Israel. Very early.
How can they be learning in it?
And I'm talking the public schools. If you're in the yeshiva, the boys go until late at night.
Public schools, what are they learning then in the public school? Mm-hmm. Such a short day.
Nothing. They come out knowing nothing.
It's terrible.
And they have to go to the army.
And they're not even getting a good secular education.
I know our my grandchildren in Israel get after schools every day. They're doing English club, music club, and these various groups. Okay, so that's what I'm suggesting to you is that this is a mevakesh of sorts. We're very loosely translating. We're explaining what this prophet is hoping for in the future, so just to broaden the scope. But hopefully we can reach. Oh my, thank you. Wow. Thanks very much. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Okay, Tzion, Pasuk Hey. Tzion yish alu derech heina pneihem, ba'uv nilvu el Hashem brit olam lo tishacherach. It's very unusual to put this right in the middle of the... He's going to go back to describing the fall of Bavel. But you see, why is he putting this in here? Right? Tzion Yishalu.
It's linked with the Persian conquering.
Yeah, that you take this advantage of Bavel's fall to go back to Tzion.
Yeah.
What an unusual thing is that Bavel's going to fall, you're going to have no autonomy whatsoever. The next time any Jew is autonomous is the Hanukkah story, and for a very little time. And from then until 1948, we had no autonomy, right? So here he's saying, take this opportunity. When these things happen to Bavel, there'll be this great, amazing story that they will let you, without war, without a kibush, they'll let you go back. But the kiddush, the first kiddush, this is not Mitzvah HaShviyah's shir after this, the first kiddush was from the kibush Haaretz, from Yehoshua. But the second kiddush, there was no kibush. What are you talking about? It was just what the rabbi calls chazoka. We just came in and we made a grabbed the land. We took hold of the land. All right. So lemaisa, this is why this is here exactly correct. So Tzion. Remember, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. It's a famous song. Tzion halo tishali lishloma sirayir. Right? And there's a kina that we say on Tisha B'Av, right at the end of Tisha B'Av, there's a kina like that. Right? It's actually a kina, it's not a pasuk.
It's only the kina, it's not
a pasuk? The I'm not sure if it's the way it appears in the kina is in that form, but it's based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so okay, so here it says, "Tzion yishalu derechena pnehem." Bo v'nilvu el Hashem. Go, let's go. And nilvu is from the lashon Levi, levaya, lavot means to accompany. Right. So nilvu el Hashem. Let's gather together towards God. Bris olam lo tishachech. He will never forget the everlasting covenant. That's what Christians do with this. So they say there's a bris, there's a new bris. So Yirmiyahu was the one who spoke about that new bris, right? The new bris is nothing to do with with a not a new Torah. And Yirmiyahu never said that this new bris is going to undo any old bris.
Right.
New covenant.
An additional.
This means it's not like the old bris. The old bris is, if you listen to me, I'm going to give you rain in your season. If you don't listen to me, I'm going to pot you. The new bris is that I'm going to write my Torah in your heart. You'll keep it without this strange impetus. Right? Son of Dota Yuami, Roehem Hit'um. My nation was a nation of lost sheep. Ro'ehem, their leaders, hit'um. Harim shovevum. They took them to to'ez, often used as regarding sheep. Right? Meaning that they, not with a test, but with a tough.
Yeah.
Is that, although I find a lot of words in the Tanakh, test and tough. It's not the same letter, but they interchange, the test and the tough.
It's a group of letters.
Yeah. Which would mean that it's another proof that the Sfardim are correct.
Which word?
Hit'um.
Hit'um?
What is hit'um? Yes. What is it? Translation of hit'um?
What is it if it's spelled with a
so to'e means to drive them in the wrong way. Drive them in the wrong direction. So hit'um with a tes means to cause them to err. So it's a similar idea.
Oh, there is a similar idea.
What's your English translation at the end of this verse?
Let's see. In 7?
It would be the end of 6. Oh, actually, the middle of 6.
They forgot the bit.
It's all of those.
Cause to go astray.
Cause to go astray. Yeah, that's good. That's better for toe with a tough. Yeah. All right. I just ran into a word in it's in
as in toway. Yeah. To go astray.
Like Hashem, like Avram told Kasher he's ubi elokim, right? Okay. Anyway, so they took them to into captivity, or probably more like shoveva, that Yirmiyahu himself used earlier, meaning to go in, again like the. To just go after your own heart and go in any old direction without any cheshbon. Meharal givah halachu shokhu rivtzam. Now, he's taking this metaphor away, maybe a little too far, but he's saying that your Bnei Israel are like sheep, and sheep are supposed to go from one place to another to find what's called in Hebrew mir'eh, right? To find a place to graze. But these sheep just go wherever they want. They go one place to another with no purpose. So, all right, if you're going to talk about sheep, then you might as well say it that way. But the shokhu rivtsam. Rivtsam is how they graze, right? They forgot why they're grazing. They should be looking for pastures that are green. They should look for pastures to graze, but they forgot that they're... So they're there for. What is the mir'eh is the Torah. Okay, let's go on. Kol motzeihem achalum, whoever finds them eats them. V'tzareihem amru lo ne'esham, and their enemies say we're not guilty. Tachas esher chatu l'Hashem neveit tzedek u'mikvei avoseihem Hashem. All this happened to them because of their sins. It was once a righteous city, and God is the mikveh of their fathers. Wow. The Mitzvah says, Lashon tikva v'tochelas. Why is a mikveh called that? So, in other words, he's saying that this here has to do with the word tikva, but the word mikveh that we call a mikveh is yikavu amayim. It said, gather. Okay. So, the Kove Hashem Yachlifu Koach Karova Hashem Lachol.
It's got to be related to Kav also, right?
Yeah, the Stama. Okay. All right. So Nudu Mitoch Bavel or Me'eretz Kad. Now back to Bavel's problems. All right. Nudu Mitoch Bavel or Me'eretz Kastim Tseu V'hiyu Ka'atudim Lifnei Tzon. Atudim are male sheep.
Like in,
yeah. Okay. right? Nudu is Lashon Nedida, wander, right? So he's telling them, Nudu mitoch Bavel, Meretz Kasta, means you should wander out of Bavel. Don't get too comfortable in Bavel. Now, we got very comfortable in Bavel. We wrote a Talmud there. You know, we stayed there for an awfully long time. But he's just saying that he's warning them that you're not going there for perpetuity. You're going there for 70 years. Some of you for less. Right? So he's saying don't get comfortable there.
What's the verb nudu? What's the shur?
It's like novenod. Hashem told Cain to be novenod. Remember, Cain built the city and called it. Okay. All right. So he says, "V'yuka tudim lifnei tzom."
Didn't Yaakov Avinu work for Laban?
Okay, so the yuka atudim lifnei tzon. So Rashi points out derech atudim lalechet lifnei ha'eder berosh ha'izim. Atudim, the older male sheep, usually walk in the front. So he's telling them to be say uvi yuka atudim lifnei tzon. Be the first to go. Don't wait for the I'll go out. When Mashiach comes, I'll go with all the other Jews. Kinei anochim meir umale al bavel kahal goyim gedolim meretz tzafon. I am going to awaken. Here, Meir means to arouse, to awaken. And this a legion of peoples from the north, that's the Persians, if you will, or maybe the coalition that George Bush gathered. V'orchulam yishom tilacheid chitzav ki gibor mashkio lo yashuv reikam. Very poetic Hebrew here. I mean, we spoke already of many times about how Yirmiyahu in these chapters is brilliant Hebrew. Right? It says, Chitzav ki gibor mashkil. You ever hear the word mashkil? Maskil, I've heard. What's a mashkil?
It says maskil here.
You have maskil?
Yes, then maybe it's a misprint, but it says maskil. Look at that.
Whoa.
It should be mashkil.
It makes such mashkil is what the word should be. Right. Lama eshkal gam shnechem yom echad. Kasher shacholti shacholti. Shincha or yeah, the Mefarshim say milashon shachol veharog. Kimo mishakeles goyim ha'isa. I don't know why he quotes me a cheskel. He should quote from the Torah. Kasher shikal remember when Shmuel told Agag before he killed him, the king of Amalek, the way you made many women childless. The Chizkuni wonders why is Rivka so sure that if Esav kills Yaakov that she's going to lose two sons. So he thinks, he quotes an opinion that if Esav kills Yaakov, there are family members that will kill Esav. Like the Tekoa woman in Shmuel Bet, remember, who went to David. You know what I'm talking about? He said, my son, she made up a story that Yoav wanted her to say. So one of my sons killed his brother, and now the relatives want to kill my only surviving son. Remember the story? So Yoav had the woman ask David about that. So he says that that's possible. But, or then he says another thing, is that Rivka was told that Asa felt, well, as soon as my father dies, I'll kill my brother. Right? So she says, why should I lose both of you on the same day? Means, why should I lose my husband and you on the same day? So you better escape, so that if my husband dies, at least you'll be safe.
Oh, I think you could also look at it if one son kills another, you're kind of losing both of them on the same day.
Fair enough. The problem with this interpretation is not yours, but the second interpretation is that Shin Chof Lamed is a very specific word in the Bible, only for losing Nebuchadnezzar.
What does it mean?
Only for losing children.
Only for losing children.
Right. The dove shakul. Does a bear know if it loses its spouse?
Yeah. I literally read, like, I saw a story in the news like a week or two ago about the exact same thing where some kind of a fight and one brother pulled a gun on the other and shot him. Possibly, like, you know, an arrow or whatever, but the mother was there, and I think, like, it was the cop who was actually quoted as saying she basically lost both of her sons, even though one was still alive.
This is in the Middle East?
No, this was in the States somewhere.
Oh,
right. In where?
It's kind of a drunken argument.
Okay, but that's why it's as appealing as it may be, it's probably not philologically correct to say that Rivka was worried about the loss of Yitzhak and Yaakov on the same day and would use the word shakal to describe both of those. She may have been worried about losing both. In fact, later on, the Chizkuni says that when Yaakov heard that Esav was coming out with him with 400 men, it says two words, Vayira Vayetzelo. Very famously, Rashi says what? Right. Vayira, that he has to kill. That he may get killed. Vayetzelo, because he may have to respond and kill someone else. Right? The Golda Meir's famous saying, I can forgive the Arabs for killing my boys, but I can't forgive the Arabs for making my boys kill. So the Chizkuni says a chiddush. He says, Vayira, that he's coming at me to kill me. Vayetzelo. Oh my goodness, mommy said that he'd only wait till after daddy dies to kill me. So if he's coming out to kill me, it must mean that there's another tragedy in the family. Mm-hmm. Otherwise he wouldn't be coming out at me like this. Or he changed his mind, you know, which is also possible. But Yitzchak was plenty alive for a long time after this. It's going to live Yitzchak another 30 years after this. Okay, anyway, here we have it that Kibor Mashkil. What's your English translation? Just to hope that this
deadly warrior.
It would be
a deadly
captured
deadly warrior.
Typo. We should call them. We should call them. They make this printing all the time. Right. This is an egregious printing error.
What's that?
It's a printing error. But we should call
the,
it. Right?
The maskio.
Yeah. You want to make another committee? We'll call it. You want to call it? You take care of it because you put 25 of them.
No.
You don't want to call?
No.
We'll give you credit.
I don't have smear.
This is not a sock. Maybe if you call them, they'll give you smear.
No, thank you.
Somebody got a call, right? There's a number to call, actually.
I'm sure there's got to be. No, you know what? I send faxes to the Rishalmi all the time because they have mistakes all over the place.
Do they correct it based on you ever see a correction based on?
No, because I don't know if they have another printing since I've pointed out to them. Maybe they'll be printing it every 5, 6, 7 years, the next edition. I don't know. All right, we'll see.
Is there a number? I'll call tomorrow morning if you want to give it to me.
Tell them you had to shear it or it's
Tzedek.
Yeah.
Is it what? You have a number?
No, you should call Rabbi Schwartz because they might ask what's the reason.
Uh-huh. No, the reason is because it's a mistake.
How do you know what number to call? Oh, here's a number.
Like,
it does.
Number,
it does. Uh-huh.
So it's Yirmiyahu 50.
Yeah, page 1190, the last word in the page.
1190 it is?
Yeah. Page 1190, the last word in the page. I'll make the little note.
Okay.
I will. I'll say that we had a shear. Schwartz, pointed it out.
Okay. Vaisakas dimle shalol, ki shololeho yisba'unu Hashem. Using a noun and a verb with the same word. I saw kastim. The kastim will be like spoils. Ki sholaleha yisba'unu Hashem. Those who despoil her will be very satisfied. Plenty to spoil. What an amazing thing for how high Bavel rose and how quickly they fell. Right? Assyria never rose as high as Babel, but Assyria stayed high for a long, much, much longer. Which might explain why we have so much more Assyrian archaeological information in Babylonia.
That, the only purpose for the rise of Babylonia was that they would destroy Jerusalem, and then once their purpose was fulfilled, they would...
That's certainly how the the hashkafically observant Jewish reader of Bible understands things.
Every, like, all the great nations that conquered Israel, the Greeks, the Romans, it's amazing. The Egyptians, all the great dynasties.
You know that it almost throughout history we can really go to many examples. One is the decline of after the Golden Age of Spain. You can trace it really directly to 1492.
Oh, yeah.
Every country. Now, of course, you can say that Nazi Germany that did such terrible things to us declined very quickly after that didn't work. But Germany, the country, built itself up, which was...
That's because they have to be with a good Mahom to...
We have Marshall Plan for America.
When it's finished, they'll go down.
America has a Marshall Plan for America. Helped them a lot.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's a rebellion against the Soviet Union. So.
But they were helpful in the establishment of the State of Israel.
Yes.
But of course, it's a different... It's the same geographical place.
Yes.
But that was necessary to denazify, so to say.
But it's the same nation.
It's still paying off. And as
absolutely,
long as they're paying off...
Their pensions for people who...
except Jews from Russia.
No, a lot of they have a right of return. They have a law of return. In fact, it's a lot more lax than Israel. You ever hear that? The Germans don't allow anyone in, that even if they're not Jewish according to...
Yeah.
And they say, we don't want to make any determinations anymore over who's a Jew
who's not. Okay, let's go on. Ki tismechu ki ta'alzu shosei nachlasi, ki tafu shu ke'eglod dosha v'titzhalu ka'abirim. Oh my goodness, the four Kriyot Ksivs in this pasuk, right? But the Hebrew is fantastic. Right? Yud Aleph. Right, kitis mechu, kita alzu, simcha and aliza is the same word. Rejoice, shosei nachalosi. You know we say on Friday night, but hayulim shisa shosayich. What does that mean? Your shosayich will be like a mishisa. Right, the ones who, and the word shosayich comes from shesa, shosas shesa, split hooves, shesa. Remember someone, kishasa eshagdi, Haman Amar. Kishasa eshagdi. Who did that? Like the one who ripped apart the goat. Or the one who, I don't know how easy it is to rip apart a goat, but it's someone who ripped apart a lion.
Yes.
Right, like he ripped it, like just like you'd rip apart a goat. Shimshon is the correct answer. So here it says the same shorish. Only here, it's interesting, shosei is without the I in here. I like to use this as a proof to Rashi's bi-letter shoresh. Was anyone in shul? I spoke about this 2 weeks ago. I spoke about the two-letter shoreshim, the three-letter shoreshim. So you see the word shosei?
Yeah.
What's the shoresh there? Shin samach.
Unless you say maybe there's a vav that it's incomplete form.
It should
there.
Be, but the word I just described about the split hooves is shin samach ayin. That ayin, ayins don't fall out like that.
No, ayins wouldn't fall
not
out.
Not at the end of the word, at least.
Right.
Right? Or how about, what word does the Tanakh use when I just described it before with Agag? Remember, you made women childless? So the word when Shmuel killed him, it says Vayishasef. It's a hapax. It never appears again. Vayishasef. Shasaf. Cut him into pieces. So Shasah, Shasaf, Shas by itself. There are not too many more words you can make with these letters, but anyway, but Tazu Shosei Nachlasi, those who cut my Nachla into pieces. Ki tafushu ke'eglod dosho. Tafushu ke'eglod dosho. Must say dosho. So here, again, I have a real problem here. How do you spell your word dosha in your book?
Okay.
Dalit Shinhei. Right, so. So the Mitzvah Tzion, you have the Mitzvah Tzion with you? He says it's spelled with an aleph, but it should be understood that as if though it's a hay. What? Sure. It's spelled with a hay.
It's spelled with a hay. Who says that, Rashi?
No, Mitzvah Tzion.
Show me the shop.
Yeah, these are the
Ehevim letters. Yeah. Right. So Dosha is like Dosh, to thresh. Yeah. Disha, it's one of the 39 Malachos.
But what's it say?
In other words, you'll be trampled like a cow on the threshing floor, tramples over the kernels. Vatitzhalu ka'abirim. Vatitzhalu means like tzohalov v'samecha. Only here it's, and we've had many words like this where. Mirzach, remember
the word that. Like
so tzahali veroni. Usually tzahala v'samecha. Shoshan is Yaakov. Is usually a joyful shout.
Yeah.
Here it's just it's a shout, but it's obviously based on the context, not a shout of joy. Mm-hmm. The shout of Abirim, of victory and battle. You know. Right. Okay, we'll stop with this pasuk. The next pasuk, by the way, says it says that if you come across a place where you we have minion here in the room, right? Let's dive in.
Mark next door, everyone that's native, and since the rabbi was emphasizing words tonight, so will I. Check out the New York Times crossword puzzle tomorrow.
Oh wow!
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, check it out every day, but.
By the way, Chevra, I have a wedding a week from tonight.
Mazel tov.
Sorry, I hate to miss.
Sorry,
that's next Monday.
Yeah,
it's Memorial.